And with me in our outside broadcast unit, we have Danny O'Keefe of Killarney National Park. And Danny is going to be talking to us, I suppose, regional manager of the National Parks and Wildlife Service. Danny, good morning to you, and thanks so much for talking to us in the programme.
Morning, Jory. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, tell me what the idea is. You're obviously, you pay close attention to who uses the park, how many people, what they use it for, and one of the major users of the National Park are dog owners taking their dogs for a walk.
That's right, Jory. 2 million visitors come to the park every year, I suppose. If you look at the percentage of homeowners that have dogs in the country, you're looking at about 25 to 27%, and if you factor that into the population of Killarney, and I suppose in the summertime it explodes, you're talking thousands of people with dogs coming to the park. We have reports every day from rangers about rangers speaking to people with dogs off leads, and I suppose we're conscious of that. The National Parks and Wildlife Service have a policy of, in all their sites across the country, is that dogs, if they're coming to the park with a dog, you have to have the dog on a lead. So I suppose one of the things that we were conscious of is that any time that we engage with people with dogs, it's nearly all the time, please can you put a dog on a lead. And so what we want to do now is we want to celebrate dogs, and we want to say thank you.
You found yourselves turning into the dog police, effectively. And your only interaction was control your dog.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, and so I suppose when you notice that there's maybe an issue with that, I suppose enforcement is one aspect of it. But I think what we have to start doing is we have to start talking to dog owners. And I suppose when we have, you know, Kerry Dog Training and Daniel Sullivan and Muddy Paws coming, to talk to people with their dogs and say, look, it's okay to have your dog on a lead. And I suppose in some ways we want to say thank you to all the people that come to the park and have their dog on leads as well. Do you know what I mean? So this today is the start of, I suppose, an engagement and an outreach to people. And I think for the start of it, I think we're doing very well in terms of all the people that are coming to talk to people with their dogs. But I think we can move this forward. And I suppose for people that come to the park with their dogs, I think it should be a good experience instead of being a negative experience.
So what do you say to people who say, look, this is a massive expanse of land and there's a desire among some to let their dogs roam? There's no traffic, there's no cars, and they want to let their dogs off the lead. Why is that a bad thing in the national park? Well, I can imagine why, but why is it?
I suppose there's two things, I suppose, in a way. Like, I mean, the national park, the priority for national parks is wildlife. And so if we talk about wildlife, I mean, this time of the year we've birds nesting, we have deer heavily in calf. They'll be having calves probably in May and June. And, you know, there's an awful lot of small mammals in the woodlands that depend on the woodlands for refuge. Do you know what I mean? So I suppose dogs, by their very nature, are, I suppose, in instinct will travel to smells, will go into holes and stuff like that. And I think from that perspective, it's very important that a national park is there for the protection of wildlife. I think, you know, we see, I suppose, right across the country, biodiversity under pressure, and I think national parks are a place where
they're a sanctuary.
They're a sanctuary for that. So that's that aspect. And then I think, as I said earlier, like with 2 million people coming to the park, not everybody is okay with dogs. People are afraid of dogs.
We get this in the program, you know, all the time. People who want to go for a walk, they're nervous of dogs. If a dog is off the lead, they might be the friendliest dog in the world, but all of a sudden they run over, they bound up, and it just makes people very uncomfortable for their own enjoyment of the park.
Absolutely. Do you know, and so I think one of the things that we should be as adults, I think, conscious of is that, especially, I love to see from my office window kids running around in the park and feeling safe. And I think that's what we should kind of aspire to. And so when we want to kind of have an event like this, it's also an awareness event to say, right, okay, you're coming to the park, you know, and you should be conscious of other people as well. So, like, if you're not conscious of wildlife or anything, that's fair enough, an awful lot of people aren't, but you should be conscious of the people that are using the park as well, you know what I mean? So if you think about, I would say, just in my own mind there, like, you know, down, say, in the front of Mucker's House, you have Jarvis, you have people with balance bikes, you have mothers and fathers pushing buggies. You have people with dogs on extendable leads. Do you know what I mean? And so the whole side of that kind of aspect is very, very kind of busy, and it can be quite dangerous as well. Like, do you know what I mean? So there's a whole gamut of reasons why we, I suppose, have to have responsible dog, I suppose, control in the park.
Yeah, okay. And look, from that point of view, today we're going to be talking to a lot of experts. We'll be talking to Deirdre Hogan of My Canine Companion. We've got Kerry Dog Training. We've got Muddy Paws Training. We've got vets coming as well to talk about it. Dog safety and dog health is another thing. And it's a vital thing for dogs to get out for that walk every day. And Killarney Park and Hesterpark is a resource for them.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, I think, like, we value all our visitors that come to the park, and I think especially during the COVID times, the park was very, very important for the local people in Killarney and people from the 5 kilometres away. And so we want to, I suppose, have a park that is open for everybody. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And like Danny O'Sullivan, the vet, will talk about, you know, the dangers that can be in the national parks as well, like, do you know what I mean? So he'll talk about ticks, he'll talk about other things like blue-green algae and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
So
having your dog on a lead is good for the dog as well, and I think
the
other trainers hopefully will talk about, you know, like, if you're going to walk 5k with your dog, then your dog walks 5k as well, like, do you know what I mean? If the dog's on a lead, do you know? So I think all in all, it should be a good event.
Yeah, it should be. Look, there's a lot of people here already. There'll be a lot more coming from 10 o'clock. So everyone welcome to come down, share information, tell their own stories and hear more about what's going on.
Absolutely. The Dinnock Lodge is open. Norman, the girls are inside, ready to serve up nice coffee. And hopefully it'll be a very good event. Things are starting to ramp up in Killarney. The weather's hoping to improve.
Yeah.
And I think all in all, it should be a great day.
Yeah. Danny, the park, is it getting busier every year?
It's getting busier every year, Jerry, absolutely. Hopefully this year we'll do a sustainability study to look at, I suppose, what the park can sustain in some ways. But I think infrastructure-wise, we're doing an awful lot in terms of our paths and our trails. And I think, you know, the visitor that comes to the park, I think no matter whether they come in a tour bus to see Muckers House or they come here to Knockgreer to actually go for a walk, I think when you compare to other national parks around the world, I think we're okay.
Yeah.
And I think the experience is good for everybody. Do you know what I mean? So when that starts to change and we start getting maybe complaints about the numbers of people, I think we'll start probably looking at it in terms of that as well. But I think we can't stop people from coming to the national park, I suppose, in some ways.
You want people to use it, but you want people to make sure it's used in a way that is sustainable, that protects the park as well as people's enjoyment of it.
Absolutely.
Okay, Danny, brilliant stuff. Thanks so much for talking to us in the programme this morning about that. Now back to the reason why we are here. We are at the Killarney National Park event at Dinnock Lodge in our outside broadcast unit beside the cafe here. There's lots of our four-legged friends here as well, lots of people with information for you, and it's all to do with awareness and use of the park and how to make it safe and friendly for everybody, including dog owners. With me in the outside broadcast unit, I have Danny O'Sullivan of All Care Vets. We have Paddy Fenton, who's the county vet and with the Kerry Dog Pound, and we also have Lisa O'Donovan with Dogs Trust, with Connie the Italian Greyhound. Good morning to all of you, and thanks so much for joining us on the programme. Paddy, if I can start with you, look, it's important, these sort of events, and a good idea that the National Parks Wildlife Service are doing this today to talk and give information to dog owners.
It is a fantastic event in terms of sharing knowledge with the public. A huge number of people, of dog owners in the public, use the park. And proper control, effectual control of dogs, the fact that they're on a lead in the park, means that everyone gets to enjoy it. So if you're nervous or worried about or own dogs, it means that you're in a safe environment. And I think the fact that they're also kept on a lead in the national park as well helps curb dog fouling. You know, it's not illegal to have your dog off a lead outside of the national park, but a huge issue for us in the implementation of the pollution around dog fouling is the fact that dogs are often walking to heel or disappearing, and people are quite happy to look the other way, but when they're on the lead, you're tied to the dog and you're kind of attached to their mess,
and so what happens,
obliged to collect and pick up afterwards.
Yeah, so that helps with that in particular.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that, I think there isn't a huge problem with fouling in the national park. And I think the fact that the dogs are kept on lead is a huge help for that. Obviously, there are there's a lot of nature and wildlife in the park in terms of the deer and the Kerry cows. So, like, having dogs running free is just really not practical.
Okay. What's your overview on the number of dogs in the county? Is it going up? Is it becoming a more popular thing? Are we seeing huge numbers of people who are using and having pets and having dogs?
During COVID, the number of dogs, the number of pets in the county, in the country, absolutely shot through the roof. Post-COVID, when people went back to work and went back to the offices and went back to their workplaces, there was a huge glut in the number of dogs which are surrendered and made available for rehoming or to the dog charities. We've kind of gone beyond that again now, in so much as it's levelled off, and I think we're probably back to the same level as what we are beforehand.
Okay, all right. Danny, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us
this
morning.
Good morning.
Tell me, I suppose, you know, the National Park is a fantastic resource. It's amazing, but there are, and people use it every day for walking their dogs. The advice is keep them on the lead, and that's good advice. There are dangers for dogs in the park.
There are. I actually agree in that. I think this is one of my favourite places on earth. I think it's a huge facility. I think we're really at an advantage living around here that we can use it. And I think it's from what Paddy said earlier on, it is important for us to protect it, but also to protect our animals. And we're a local practice, so we would see a lot of the issues that do occur here. And Paddy mentioned about keeping a dog on a lead for fouling, but also there are other reasons for keeping the dog on a lead, in that it's not like running in a field at home. There are hundreds and hundreds of dogs here. So basically, if you are walking your dog here, first of all, it should be vaccinated, because the risks, it's like going into a huge crowd, you're much more likely to pick up diseases. So, but also treat them for fleas and ticks, because they're likely to pick that up. But the other thing that they do, and we've commonly see it, is dogs will roll off and go off the lead, and on this, particularly in hot weather, hopefully we have some coming, they will drink stagnant water. And the problem with that, just local little ponds of water, they can pick up gastroenteritis, because other dogs will have gone there before and they will have gone to the toilet. Or you'd have also, you have a lot of wildlife, so you have a lot of salmonella and campylobacter in the water.
Right.
So basically, when your dog runs off a lead in the heat, it's going to drink water. And we commonly see gastroenteritis coming from that. So that's another reason for keeping your dog on a lead. Now, at the extreme end of the scale, Paddy will remember in 2000, a number of years ago, we had multiple deaths from blue-green algae. And that is, it's if you look at areas, it generally occurs late summer or late spring, summer, hot weather. And what you notice, if you look in the lakes where there's still water, you see an algae. It looks like an algae, a blue-green scum. That's highly toxic to dogs. And even a mouthful can cause death within 15 minutes to an hour. Also, if they go for a swim in it, when they lick their coat afterwards, that can kill them. And the sort of symptoms we've had is that they go for their swim and they come out. The dog starts getting vomiting, diarrhea, very, very sore tummy. Then it starts hyperesthesia. That's kind of like mini convulsions. And within an hour, or very often, it can be dead. Or if you bring it straight to a vet, you're talking about a day or more on fluids, and that could be kidney damage. And what I would say is this occurs on still water and stagnant water. So that's another reason for keeping your dog. Now, if they do happen to get into it, maybe not in the national park, but if they tend to keep them out of that type of water, because what actually happens is that even a small amount in the skin, if they lick themselves later, that can be toxic. So that's another reason for it. So I'm talking about, you know, the other advantage of keeping a dog on a lead is that you are protecting your dog as well, in that dogs tend to be protective of their owner. And when you're going for a walk, this is a common question I'm asked on Radio Kerry, my dog starts barking.
Yes.
And basically what's happening there is, you'll probably deal with your dog trainer afterwards, but what's happening there is that the owner is tense because they're expecting trouble. The dog picks up on the tension and this says, my owner is in trouble here, I better frighten that other dog.
Whatever is going on away.
So basically that's an issue. So, and the issue Paddy mentioned about danger to people that are afraid. If you're actually afraid of dogs, the dogs pick up on the fear and you're more likely to be attacked. So it's only fair to other people who are using the national park to keep your dog on a lead. And as regards the lead, I went to school across the way in St. Brendan's, and the law of the lever is the further from the fulcrum, basically a short lead. Because if you have a strong dog and if you have a long lead, it's really hard to hold on to them.
Is it like being off the lead to an extent?
It is, it is. And the other thing that happens then is that if they do break away, we get this regularly, and Paddy will know the same, the owner then is despondent because they can't find their dog. And it's vital to have your dog microchipped, and also to have a little tag on the dog with your phone number, because so frequently we've had cases there where people 2 or 3 days later will spend 2 or 3 days looking for their dog. And so there are multiple reasons to protect the dog as well, you know?
yeah and why they should and what they could do with it. Okay. All right, we also have Lisa O'Donovan of Dogs Trust with Connie the Italian Greyhound. Lisa, good morning to you and thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
In the outside broadcast unit. Connie's looking in fine fettle this morning.
She is indeed. I've borrowed her from someone. I couldn't resist a small little dog to come in and bring on the radio with me, so.
Yeah, brilliant.
But she's a perfect example of a well behaved dog who's under control and not getting herself into trouble or mischief.
No, that's true. And on a lead as well.
Absolutely.
Days like today, very important to talk with dog owners, get their experience and communicate, I suppose, a message of how they can be safe and how they can enjoy the park.
It is. It's very much about dog responsibility, being a responsible owner, and especially with children and dogs. It's a lovely event for them to be here in such beautiful surroundings and being able to speak to professionals who know what they're doing, who can give advice when they're here and make the world very harmonious for dogs and their owners and the public.
Because with Danny O'Keefe on earlier on, from the National Park, and he was saying, look, a lot of the time they spend their time during the interaction they have with dog owners who are enjoying the park is please put your dog back in a lead, or it's almost like they're almost like hectoring them because of it. So is it important, the more information you can share and the more, I suppose, training that can be given but to people who have dogs so they can know what they're doing, I suppose, so they avoid those incidents?
Absolutely, and it's never a situation of training the dog, it's about training the owner. And I mean, again, as our former person here said, you know, it's keeping the dog on the lead because they feel the tension, they feel the anxiety. I see it with my own dogs at home. If I make the lead short or if I see something coming, my dogs react to that. And there are people here today who'll be able to explain to you what not to do and how to do it right. And then you can go into public places like this with your dog and have a very pleasant experience.
Yeah. What do you say to people who say, look, where am I going to have time, or how important is it for a dog to be left off the lead to roam? Is that possible, or is it something a dog needs at any stage?
I think with dogs, we focus an awful lot on their physical needs as opposed to their mental needs. And a dog whose mental needs are satisfied is a much happier dog. It's not about walking them and running them free. Absolutely, that's important. It's important for us as well, exercises. But bringing your dog out in the garden and playing with it and interacting with it is actually far more beneficial than bringing it on a 10-mile walk. A boat is brilliant, but we can't always leave them off the lead for exercise if there's other people around, and it's against the law to have your dog off the lead in public place. So engage with their mental activity and give them things to do, play with them, make them work for their treats, make them chase the ball and things like that, and dog and owner will be very happy.
Yeah Okay, that's a fair point. Danny, is that a point a lot of the times people would say, oh, we need a dog park, we need somewhere to go? This is an enormous dog park, but it's not the most important thing, is it?
It's not, but also remember that if it is a dog park, you're going to have hundreds and thousands of dogs. And dogs, by their nature, sniff at where another dog has gone to the toilet. So the chances of picking up disease are sky high. Whereas if you go out in your own backyard or field or whatever, there's no other dog there. The density isn't there, so there's no issue. So I don't think a public place is actually appropriate, you know?
Yeah. Paddy, would you echo those?
I strongly agree with Danny there in terms of the dog park. You know, I think they're a license for disaster in terms of people leaving dogs off, controlling the dogs, aggression, disease. You know, dogs have unknown backgrounds, unknown vaccination status.
Unknown levels of training, perhaps, maybe not being socialised to interact with other dogs in a proper way, and all sorts of problems can come from that.
And of course, dogs are pack animals, so, you know, they have to establish a pecking order. And I presume if you gather unknown dogs into a dog park, it's a recipe for disaster because they're all going to be looking to be the top dog.
Yeah, I suppose when you look at it that way, that is part of the problem. Okay, Lisa, can you tell me, look, Dogs Trust, tell me a bit about the work that you do and what support you need.
So Dogs Trust, we advocate in responsible ownership, but I suppose our function mostly is the rehoming of dogs. So we take dogs out of pounds, we help other rescues when we're able to facilitate them, we help people who are in a position who are no longer able to look after their dogs, and what we are doing nationwide is trying to encourage people to adopt dogs responsibly. And also we have a foster program where we ask people to take a dog that needs to get out of a kennel environment into their home for a period of time till we find it a home. But also we very much love working with people, advising them. You know, sometimes people struggle with small things that make them make the decision to hand over a dog, and we'll work with them to help them to overcome these problems and to be able to keep their dog going forward.
What are you seeing at the moment in terms of people who want to get dogs? Are they more open to rehoming or taking them from pounds, or is there still this desire maybe for designer dogs that's out there?
There is still the designer dogs, the fluffy, cuddly puppies, the non-sheds and things like that that people look for. And it is kind of sad to see it, because, say, for example, your humble lurcher is an absolutely beautiful dog and very well able to adapt to a small environment. They don't need a lot of energy, you know, they don't need a lot of exercise. Running around the garden for 15 minutes and he's going to go in and lie on the couch and sleep for Ireland. But I do think that people do need to research their breeds, and they do need to make a decision about what they can offer the dog. It's not about what the dog can offer you, it's about what you can offer the dog. And if you're relying on things like dog parks and doggy daycare and things like that, you know, you have to stop and think, are you going to be able to afford this going forward? You know, when dog is 6 months old,
do you have the time for it?
The time is a huge thing. And I also think that where children are concerned, you know, they won't buy the dog specifically for the children. It has to be an all-in buy-in family affair.
Yeah, it's not just the kids who are going to be looking after the dog, it's going to be you and everyone in the family. Danny, would you echo it? You're on with Deirdre every week on Talk About. You get these questions all the time, and I know you say the more work you can put in advance of the decision to, yes, we're going to go for it, the better for the dog, for everybody.
Absolutely. There is one other thing. I was just listening there about the Dogs Trust and rescuing a dog. And what I'm just saying, if you have small kids and if you rescue a dog and if you train it properly and your kids are observing this, aren't you giving them a great life coaching lesson as well? Whereas if you impulsively get a dog,
jump in without knowing what's going on,
and end up discarding that dog to the pound or whatever, what message are you sending your kids there? You know, I honestly think it's very important, and I do agree with the other thing she said. There's a lot of expense in keeping a dog, and you're doing nobody any favours taking on a dog if you're not prepared to do spend the money and spend the time.
Vaccinations,
veterinary costs,
the time cost on
training,
your life,
training, food.
Everything like that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I want to thank all the three of you for coming in and talking to us and undergoing all those things and advising people. Preparation still continuing. The event is in full flow here. If anyone is out there, if you're listening to us, we're down outside Dinnock Lodge Cafe, just at the entrance to the Clarion National Park. There's experts here of all types on dogs and dog care. There are dog wardens here. There's National Parks and Wildlife Service here, and lots of dogs and their owners. If you want to come along and you want to get involved, then do so. If you've any comments or any queries or questions for us in relation to what we're talking about, then do get in touch with us on the program. My thanks to the number of people, with Paddy Fenton, County Vet and Kerry Dog Pound, Danny O'Sullivan of All Care Vets, and Lisa O'Donovan of Dogs Trust, and thanks to Connie, who's behaved so well here in the outside broadcast unit as well. Now back to the reason why we are here. We are at the Killarney National Bark event at Dinnock Lodge in our outside broadcast unit beside the cafe here. There's lots of our four-legged friends here as well. Lots of people with information for you, and it's all to do with awareness and use of the park and how to make it safe and friendly for everybody, including dog owners. With me in the outside broadcast unit, I have Danny O'Sullivan of All Care Vets. We have Paddy Fenton, who's the county vet and with the Kerry Dog Pound. And we also have Lisa O'Donovan with Dogs Trust, with Connie, the Italian Greyhound. Good morning to all of you, and thanks so much for joining us on the programme. Paddy, if I can start with you. Look, it's important, these sort of events, and a good idea that the National Parks Wildlife Service are doing this today to talk and give information to dog owners.
It is a fantastic event in terms of sharing knowledge with the public. A huge number of people, of dog owners in the public, use the park. And proper control, effectual control of dogs, the fact that they're on a lead in the park, means that everyone gets to enjoy it. So if you're nervous or worried about or own dogs, it means that you're in a safe environment. And I think the fact that they're also kept on a lead in the national park as well helps curb dog fouling. You know, a huge, it's not illegal to have your dog off a lead outside of the national park, but a huge issue for us in the implementation of the pollution around dog fouling is the fact that dogs are often walking to heel or disappearing, and people are quite happy to look the other way. But when they're on the lead, you're tied to the dog and you're kind of attached to their mess.
And so, and what happens?
Obliged to collect and pick up afterwards.
Yeah. So that helps with that in particular.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think there isn't a huge problem with fouling in the national park. And I think the fact that the dogs are kept on lead is a huge help for that. Obviously, there are. There's a lot of nature and wildlife in the park in terms of the deer and the Kerry cows. So, like, having dogs running free is just really not practical.
Okay. What's your overview on the number of dogs in the county? Is it going up? Is it becoming a more popular thing? Are we seeing huge numbers of people who are using and having pets and having dogs?
During COVID, the number of dogs, the number of pets in the county, in the country, absolutely shot through the roof. Post-COVID, when people went back to work and went back to the offices and went back to their workplaces, there was a huge glut in the number of dogs which are surrendered and made available for rehoming or to the dog charities. We've kind of gone beyond that again now, in so much as it's levelled off, and I think we're probably back to the same level as what we are beforehand.
Okay, all right. Danny, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Tell me, I suppose, you know, the National Park is a fantastic resource. It's amazing. But there are, and people use it every day for walking their dogs. The advice is keep them on the lead, and that's good advice. There are dangers for dogs in the park.
There are. I actually agree in that. I think this is one of my favourite places on earth. I think it's a huge facility. I think we're really at an advantage living around here that we can use it. And I think it's from what Paddy said earlier on, it is important for us to protect it, but also to protect our animals. And we're a local practice, so we would see a lot of the issues that do occur here. And Paddy mentioned about keeping a dog on a lead for fouling, but also there are other reasons for keeping the dog on a lead, in that it's not like running in a field at home. There are hundreds and hundreds of dogs here. So basically, if you are walking your dog here, first of all, it should be vaccinated, because the risks, it's like going into a huge crowd, you're much more likely to pick up diseases. So, but also treat them for fleas and ticks, because they're likely to pick that up. But the other thing that they do, and we've commonly see it, is dogs will roll off and go off the lead, and on particularly in hot weather, hopefully we've some coming, they will drink stagnant water. And the problem with that, just local little ponds of water, they can pick up gastroenteritis, because other dogs will have gone there before and they will have gone to the toilet. Or you have a lot of wildlife, so you have a lot of salmonella and campylobacter in the water.
Right.
So basically, when your dog runs off a lead in the heat, it's going to drink water. And we commonly see gastroenteritis coming from that. So that's another reason for keeping your dog on a lead. Now, at the extreme end of the scale, Paddy will remember in 2000, a number of years ago, we had multiple deaths from blue-green algae. And that is, it's if you look at areas, it generally occurs late summer or late spring, summer, hot weather. And what you notice, if you look in the lakes where there's still water, you see a sort of an algae. It looks like an algae, a blue-green scum. That's highly toxic to dogs. And even a mouthful can cause death within 15 minutes to an hour. Also, if they go for a swim in it, when they lick their coat afterwards, that can kill them. And the sort of symptoms we've had is that they go for their swim and they come out, the dog starts getting vomiting, diarrhea, very, very sore tummy, then it starts hyperesthesia, that's kind of like mini convulsions, and within an hour, or very often, it can be dead. Or if you bring it straight to a vet, you're talking about a day or more on fluids, and that could be kidney damage. And what I would say is this occurs on still water and stagnant water. So that's another reason for keeping your dog. Now, if they do happen to get into it, maybe not in the national park, but if they tend to keep them out of that type of water, because what actually happens is that even a small amount in the skin, if they lick themselves later, that can be toxic. So that's another reason for it. So I'm talking about
you know, the other advantage of keeping a dog on a lead is that you are protecting your dog as well, in that dogs tend to be protective of their owner. And when you're going for a walk, this is a common question I'm asked on Radio Kerry, my dog starts barking.
Yes.
And basically what's happening there is, you'll probably deal with your dog trainer afterwards, but what's happening there is that the owner is tense because they're expecting trouble. The dog picks up on the tension and that says, my owner is in trouble here, I better frighten that other dog.
Whatever is going on away. Yeah.
So basically that's an issue. So, and the issue Paddy mentioned about danger to people that are afraid. If you're actually afraid of dogs, the dogs pick up on the fear and you're more likely to be attacked. So it's only fair to other people who are using the national park to keep your dog on a lead. And as regards the lead, I went to school across the way in St. Brendan's, and the law of the lever is the further from the fulcrum, basically a short lead. Because if you have a strong dog and if you have a long lead, it's really hard to hold on to them.
Is it like being off the lead to an extent?
It is. It is. And the other thing that happens then is that if they do break away, we get this regularly, and Paddy will know the same, the owner then is despondent because they can't find their dog. And it's vital to have your dog microchipped and also to have a little tag on the dog with your phone number, because so frequently we've had cases there where people 2 or 3 days later will spend 2 or 3 days looking for their dog. And so there are multiple reasons to protect the dog as well, you know?
Yeah, and why they should and what they could do with it. Okay, all right. We also have Lisa O'Donovan of Dogs Trust with Connie, the Italian Greyhound. Lisa, good morning to you and thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
In the Outside Broadcast Unit. Connie's looking in fine fettle this morning.
She is indeed. I've borrowed her from someone. I couldn't resist a small little dog to come in and bring on the radio with me. So.
Yeah, brilliant.
But she's a perfect example of a well-behaved dog who's under control and not getting herself into trouble or mischief.
No, that's true. And on a lead as well.
Absolutely.
Days like today, very important to talk with dog owners, get their experience and communicate, I suppose, a message of how they can be safe and how they can enjoy the park.
It is. It's very much about dog responsibility, being a responsible owner, and especially with children and dogs, it's a lovely event for them to be here in such beautiful surroundings and being able to speak to professionals who know what they're doing, who can give advice when they're here and make the world very harmonious for dogs and their owners and the public.
Because with Danny O'Keefe on earlier on, from that aspect, and he was saying, look, a lot of the time they spend their time during the interaction they have with dog owners who are enjoying the park is please put your dog back in a lead, or it's almost like they're almost like hectoring them because of it. So is it important, the more information you can share and the more, I suppose, training that can be given but to people who have dogs so they can know what they're doing, I suppose, so they avoid those incidents?
Absolutely, and it's never a situation of training the dog, it's about training the owner. And I mean, again, as our former person here said, you know, it's keeping the dog on the lead because they feel the tension, they feel the anxiety. I see it with my own dogs at home. If I make the lead short or if I see something coming, my dogs react to that. And there are people here today who'll be able to explain to you what not to do and how to do it right. And then you can go into public places like this with your dog and have a very pleasant experience.
Yeah. What do you say to people who say, look, where am I going to have time, or how important is it for a dog to be left off the lead to roam? Is that possible, or is it something a dog needs at any stage?
I think with dogs, we focus an awful lot on their physical needs as opposed to their mental needs. And a dog whose mental needs are satisfied is a much happier dog. It's not about walking them and running them free. Absolutely, that's important. It's important for us as well, exercises. But bringing your dog out in the garden and playing with it and interacting with it is actually far more beneficial than bringing it on a 10-mile walk. A boat is brilliant, but we can't always leave them off the lead for exercise if there's other people around, and it's against the law to have your dog off the lead in public place. So engage with their mental activity and give them things to do, play with them, make them work for their treats, make them chase the ball and things like that, and a dog and owner would be very happy.
Yeah, okay, that's a fair point. Danny, is that a point a lot of the times people would say, oh, we need a dog park, we need somewhere to go. This is an enormous dog park, but it's not the most important thing, is it?
It's not, but also remember that if it is a dog park, you're going to have hundreds and thousands of dogs. And dogs, by their nature, sniff at where another dog has gone to the toilet. So the chances of picking up disease are sky high. Whereas if you go out on your own backyard or field or whatever, there's no other dog there. The you know, the density isn't there, so there's no issue. So I don't think a public place is actually appropriate, you know?
Yeah. Paddy, would you echo those?
I strongly agree with Danny there in terms of the dog park. You know, I think they're a license for disaster in terms of people leaving dogs off, controlling the dogs, aggression, disease. You know, dogs of unknown backgrounds, unknown vaccination status.
Unknown levels of training, perhaps, maybe not being socially socialised to interact with other dogs in a proper way, and all sorts of problems can come from that.
And of course, dogs are pack animals, so, you know, they have to establish a pecking order. And I presume if you gather unknown dogs into a dog park, it's a recipe for disaster, because they're all going to be looking to be the top dog.
Yeah, I suppose when you look at it that way, that is part of the problem. Okay, Lisa, can you tell me, look, Dogs Trust, tell me a bit about the work that you do and what support you need.
So Dogs Trust, we advocate in responsible ownership, but I suppose our function mostly is the rehoming of dogs. So we take dogs out of pounds, we help other rescues when we're able to facilitate them. We help people who are in a position who are no longer able to look after their dogs. And what we are doing nationwide is trying to encourage people to adopt dogs responsibly. And also we have a foster program where we ask people to take a dog that needs to get out of a kennel environment into their home for a period of time till we find it a home. But also we very much love working with people, advising them. You know, sometimes people struggle with small things that make them make the decision to hand over a dog, and we'll work with them to help them to overcome these problems and to be able to keep their dog going forward.
What are you seeing at the moment in terms of people who want to get dogs? Are they more open to rehoming or taking them from pounds, or is there still this desire maybe for designer dogs that's out there?
There is still the designer dogs, the fluffy, cuddly puppies, the non-sheds and things like that people look for. And it is kind of sad to see it, because, say, for example, your humble lurcher is an absolutely beautiful dog and very well able to adapt to a small environment. They don't need a lot of energy, you know, they don't need a lot of exercise. Running around the garden for 15 minutes and he's going to go in and lie on the couch and sleep for Ireland. But I do think that people do need to research their breeds, and they do need to make a decision about what they can offer the dog. It's not about what the dog can offer you, it's about what you can offer the dog. And if you're relying on things like dog parks and doggy daycare and things like that, you know, you have to stop and think, are you going to be able to afford this going forward? You know, when dog is 6 months old,
do you have the time for it?
At the time
in
is
your
the
life?
Huge thing. And I also think that where children are concerned, you know, don't buy the dog specifically for the children. It has to be an all-in buy-in family affair.
Yeah, it's not just the kids who are going to be looking after the dog, it's going to be you and everyone in the family. Danny, would you echo it? You're on with Deirdre every week and talk about, you get these questions all the time, and I know you say the more work you can put in advance of the decision to, yes, we're going to go for it, the better for the dog, for everybody.
Absolutely. There is one other thing. I was just listening there about the Dogs Trust and rescuing a dog. And what I'm just saying, if you have small kids and if you rescue a dog and if you train it properly and your kids are observing this, aren't you giving them a great life coaching lesson as well? Whereas if you impulsively get a dog,
jump in without knowing what's going on,
and end up discarding that dog to the pound or whatever, what message are you sending your kids there? You know, I honestly think it's very important, and I do agree with the other thing she said. There's a lot of expense in keeping a dog, and you're doing nobody any favours taking on a dog if you're not prepared to do spend the money and spend the time.
Vaccinations veterinary, costs,
veterinary costs,
the time cost on
training,
your life,
training, food.
Everything like that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I want to thank all the three of you for coming in and talking to us and undergoing all those things and advising people. Preparation is still continuing. The event is in full flow here. If anyone is out there, if you're listening to us, we're down outside Dinnock Lodge Cafe, just at the entrance to the Clarion National Park. There's experts here of all types on dogs and dog care. There are dog wardens here. There's National Parks and Wildlife Service here, and lots of dogs and their owners. If you want to come along and you want to get involved, then do so. If you've any comments or any queries or questions for us in relation to what we're talking about, then do get in touch with us on the programme. My thanks to the number of people, with Paddy Fenton, County Vet and Kerry Dog Pound, Danny O'Sullivan of All Care Vets, and Lisa O'Donovan of Dogs Trust. And thanks to Connie, who's behaved so well here in the outside broadcast unit as well.